Well, last week we talked about the spiritual person. How many of you remember that? Or you were too much in the natural? And we started off in Galatians. I'm just going to just review a little bit, caption a little bit. We talked about the spiritual person. And we used Galatians 6:1. We said, if anyone has taken in a fault, you which are spiritual. So the Bible talks about looking, he's looking for, God's looking for spiritual persons, people. And then he talks about in there in Galatians that we should do things in the right way, in a gentle way when we're helping people. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1, he says, I couldn't talk to you as like spiritual people. And that word spiritual is actually defined as someone who is mature in the spiritual aspects of life. And he said, I couldn't talk to you as spiritual people, but carnal people. You know, carnal people, they don't think about spiritual things. They just think about, where's my car? What am I going to eat? There's different things like that. But there's a higher level of living as well. And spiritual things like that that are important to us, such as walking in love, believing God, and believing in prayer, those kind of things. Those are spiritual things. And we gave you a definition about what is a spiritual person. And God is concerned about the spiritual person. A spiritual person is somebody that is a mature person. And we talked about the term spirituality. What is spirituality? That's spirituality. When we talk about spirituality, spirituality is about you. It's about you and your relationship with God, your creator, and your relationship with everybody, your human relationships, your friends, your brothers and sisters, your people you live with are important to you. And so that's what we're talking about. When we talk about spirituality, we're talking about those aspects of our relationships with God, the creator, and our relationships with our own selves as well, how we view ourselves, what we think about ourselves in light of God's word, and then how we treat people, how we interact with people. And then we talked to you about three kinds of people the Bible talks about. And we talked about that. We gave you kind of a definition about the three kinds of people. We talk about there's babies, brand new people that are new to the life of spirituality. They're new to the life of walking by the Spirit. Then we talk about, we gave a kind of a definition of what a spiritual person looked like, a baby one. Are there any babies here today? And then we talked about the carnal person. What does he look like? What does that person look like? They're born again, but they're not walking spiritually. Yeah. You know, you could be a Christian and not even resemble what a Christian is supposed to look like and just act like you're not even saved. Act like you hate everybody and you just resemble everybody else around you. And I believe that God wants us to be distinct, show that we're mature. And then we talked about that in that fashion. And then the babies, significantly, their babies are helpless. They don't do anything that can make a contribution to society. They always want something, and they cry a lot, and they want their diapers changed, and they want to eat, and they're uncomfortable, and they're just not very very nice. In that sense, if you think about a large person in that way. So I want to talk to you about how to grow spiritually, how to grow up from a natural situation. If you are a Christian, there are some things, there are some expectations that you have, that God has for you, and where you should start from and where you should end up. What you should look like. So we continue on our topic on spirituality and spiritual growth. I'd like you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, and Ephesians 4, 15 as our text, so that we can start our study. So how to grow up? That's the question. How do I grow from my carnality? And you were able to identify yourself in that. Paul identifies what a carnal Christian looks like, and what a baby Christian looks like compared to a mature person. So a spiritual person actually is a mature person. We want to be mature, and that's our goal. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, did you all get my notes? Yes? Okay, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. It says here, as newborn babies, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Peter is talking to the church, and he's talking about babies. And the scripture shows us there is a similarity between an infant born, naturally speaking. No one is born physically mature. You never saw a baby born with a mustache and teeth. And you know, we grow to have teeth. And you know, what if you grow a baby? A baby's born, it's a hairy one with a beard and stuff. That would look kind of strange, wouldn't it? But the Bible compares natural birth and spiritual birth in terms of their characteristics, identification, so that you can tell whether or not you're a baby and whether or not you need some growing. And weeks ago, we gave some scenarios about, to identify whether or not you need to grow. We'll go back to that another time, but we'll for our sake here this morning, we'll just mention that. And so, over in, notice the text in 1 Peter 2 and 2 says that you may grow. So God wants us to grow from that babyhood stage. And if you've identified yourself in that stage, there's nothing wrong with identifying yourself in that stage. You have to be honest. Honesty is so important. You can't end up somewhere if you're dishonest. You have to be thoroughly humble and identify yourself. Okay, so I'm not doing too well in these. Because you could be a born-again Christian for 50 years and still be a big baby. And you could have spiritual gifts. You could be a preacher. You could be singing on the music team. You could be an older Christian and not really resemble where you should be. So only you can identify that for yourself. In fact, people maybe have trouble with you if you're still in that stage. And then also, a baby Christian really resembles a carnal Christian. A carnal Christian is born again, but they've never developed. They just come to that place where they realize they need to be saved, and they don't really care about anything else after that, and just live whatever they want. They do whatever they want to do, live just as reckless as they did before, hate people, keep resentments, judge people and all that. That's carnality. And God wants us to be spiritual. And we saw that in those chapters. So we don't want to be that because it affects us. Affects our health. It affects our mental health, our relationships, and everything else. So the next scripture, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, verse 15 says, but speaking the truth in love, notice again, may grow up into him. In other words, we grow up just to be like Jesus. That's what it's talking about here. That we grow up to be like him, our characteristics, and all things which is ahead, even Christ. So, the point is this morning is that we all need to. There's no need to remain to be in a babyhood state because you have lots of chances, a lot of ability to grow. Everyone here has a chance to grow up and to be a contributing member of society. And so we bring that here at home. You should be a contributing member to your fellowship, your home church, and the people where you go. You should be able to. We should rely on you to pray for things. If there's projects going on, we want you to pray for them. If there's money that needs something, you know, some of your cash should go to help projects. God wants us to do that. He wants us to make a contribution and help. How else? We don't get the funding from the government. We don't get Ontario money coming in. We don't get any money from Coca-Cola or Ford. Nobody sponsors us. So you and I have to do it. So this building was paid in 10 years Okay, wait a minute. Because of you, you're able to bring that in. And all the other monies that came to repair, a baby Christian, baby carnal people wouldn't be able to do that. They wouldn't give money because they're selfish and they don't care about them except themselves. If we trust God, it says that if you come to Jesus, come to God, and you start walking by the principles, he'll provide for you. So you have to trust God to do that. Every one of us went through that process. We can say for a fact that happened to us, even in our personal bills. A carnal Christian will just do whatever they want. If I want to go buy a $150,000 truck, I'll just go ahead and go. I won't even consider my bills. I'll have the money. Well, that's not faith, right? It's foolishness and presumption. So you get into trouble, then you blame God. Then you blame your boss for not giving you the money. So you have to think right. So it's important that we grow spiritually so that we can become mature people and easy to live with. It's hard living with a carnal person. They're always mad, you know. And I know my friend here and I, we talk about, you know, in our early sobriety, we had what we call the dry drunk. It's a syndrome. That means you're not happy with life. It means you're not happy at all. You don't care about anything. And you're not concerned about the society. You're not concerned about people. All you want to do is tell the world you hate living right now. So that's a dry drunk. And so nobody wants to be a dry drunk. Nobody wants to live with somebody at home who's miserable. You don't want to live with a husband who's always complaining, a wife is always complaining, kids are always mad, everybody, you know, you're walking on eggshells at home. So we want to be people that are predictable. We don't want to go home and say, what's going to be like now at home? What's my boss going to be like? No, your boss will always be, if he's mature, he'll always be straight with you, honest with you. He'll always be nice with you at the same time. He's not going to cuss you out, as they say, and curse you out. But he's going to tell you straight. He's not going to try to hurt you, but he'll tell you the truth. That's why I used to hate my sponsor. I go see my sponsor, and they tell me, Roma, you can't think that way. You can't do that anymore. I said, why? Because you have to live now differently. The steps tell you, show you how to live right. And so I began to change, you know, slowly. I like to think I was good at it, but I probably wasn't that good at it as I think I am. So let me just check here for something. If we're on the same page, are you on the same page? We're saying that there's no need to stay stunted in our spiritual growth, our spirituality. We need to realize that we can grow and enjoy life. Even if you're having a hard time in life, you know, you can have joy even though you have personal problems, issues. You can still be joyful and be helpful and nice to people. And when we're having personal issues, you know, we don't bring it into everything, our workplace and all that. We should be able to compartmentalize and say, okay, you know what? I know God, I'm trusting God. He's working with me. He's working at it. So I got to be patient. So here, let's just introduce this a little bit more here. Some individuals, even churches, individuals and groups of people, stay within the babyhood state of development. We can see this in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Hebrews chapter 5, Ephesians chapter 4. You'll see, you know, Paul is talking here to those groups of churches and people, and they were still in babyhood. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 to 3, Paul tells them, I couldn't talk to you like a mature Christian. I could talk to you like a just a regular any person, like, you know, how's your kids? It's a nice warm day today, right? That's all he could do. He couldn't talk about spiritual things. He couldn't talk about walking in love and believing God and believing, having faith. He couldn't do that. He couldn't talk to them because they would not listen. You know what? Some people who are carnal people, that are you expect spirituality from them. You can't talk to them because they're too angry. They're too involved in their hate and too involved in their feeling sorry for themselves. And look at me, what the government did to me. Look at what with my my mother did with me. Look at how I was growing into this family, and look how bad I have it. And I'm mad at the world for that. I remember the day I was talking to my sponsor. He said, Roma, you gotta forgive your parents. Leave that behind. Walk ahead. And stop blaming and start taking care. Now it's up to you to take advantage of what you have and walk forward. So I decided that I was going to do that. And in the churches, people do the same thing. They get mad, somebody hurts them, and they walk out of a church and go to another church, and they start going from one church to another church to another church to another church to another church. They want to find somebody who can agree with them because they think they're being mistreated. So in fact, you don't even have to like me personally to be here. If God brought you here, this is where you should be. Because he brought you here spiritually, and, you know, you might not like my personality, but you like what the Word of God is coming to you. And you feel like, you know, hey, I need this to survive. And so Paul tells the Corinthians, as I mentioned, he says to them, let's go read here 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. He said, I, brethren, I could not. Everybody say, could not. You have to understand that God was using Paul to talk to these people, and yet God sent that person there. He wanted to give them a message, but he could not do it. They were too engrossed in their own emotional state that they could not hear, not even the person or God that was sent there. He said, I couldn't speak to you as spiritual people, but as unto carnal, even babies in Christ. And so if you read through to verse 3, he says in there, in the Amplified Bible, you were acting like you're not even saved, not even born again. Which is that they were, you know, they should have been at that point. Paul was expecting them, and God was expecting them that they should have grown, that they were able to be conversive and talk. In fact, let's go to that scripture. Let's go to verse 2. Even as babes in Christ, he says, I fed you with milk. Babies still drink a little bit of, whatever, milk, baby food, and not with meat. Meat is meat. Meat of things is like when you tell people the real stuff about life, some people can't take it. They can't take things as honestly. So you have to be easy on some people sometimes, because they can't take enough. They can't take the next level. So for hitherto, you're not able to bear it. See? Neither yet are you able. Verse 3 says, for you're still carnal. In other words, they're born again. They're Christian people, but they're carnal. They're not even acting like they're saved. They're acting like everybody else in the world. But God wants us to be different, wants us to change, but they haven't changed yet, these guys. So whereas there's among you, notice this, envying, strife, causing divisions, and causing all kinds of fight, and causing all kinds of conflicts around them. Are you not carnal and walk as men? So he's saying they're doing all this stuff. That's a mark of someone who is not grown. They shouldn't be causing divisions and fights around them. They shouldn't be causing division between people. They shouldn't be causing strife and anger, resentment. They shouldn't be causing envying. You shouldn't be feeling sorry for yourself and say, look what I don't have. Look at why did they got? How come Ken has a van, new van, and I can't have a van? Well, that's his faith. You believe yourself for money, whatever, job. Go get two jobs. So it depends where you want to be, right? So we're not going to be envying. Thank God I'm going to borrow that truck tomorrow. So notice, can you put this in the Amplified Bible? What it does, it takes one of the key words and shows you so that you can understand a little bit more, takes the key Greek phrase and makes it more understandable. So if you look at this here in the Amplified Classical, is it the Classical? Okay, we could use this one. You're still worldly, controlled by ordinary impulses. Like if I get mad, I'll tell you what I feel. That's a baby Christian. If you look in the Proverbs, a spiritual man, he can hold back his anger and leave it there, and he knows that it's not going to go anywhere anyway. And I'll wait for an opportune time to speak. Maybe it's not my right time to speak now. So controlled by ordinary impulses. That's all your emotions and your rage and whatever you got there. The sinful capacity. For as long as there's jealousy and strife and discord among you, are you not unspiritual? And are you not walking as ordinary men, unchanged by faith? So we should be changed. God wants you to change. God wants you to grow up and develop as people who are predictable people, reliable people, that are walking by the principles, spiritual laws, the spiritual law of love. If I'm a Christian and you're a Christian, I believe you're gonna walk this by the same law of love as I am. I'm expecting you to walk by love, not by ordinary impulses. And I expect you to walk by faith. I expect you to believe God for your needs. Not depending on somebody else for them, but expecting God that He's going to bring it to you. He's going to answer your prayer. You're just as valuable as anybody else. My prayer is not as valuable as yours, or mine's not any better because I'm a pastor. Yours is just as good as mine. You got to come to the place where you believe that. And stop running after ministers trying to get them to pray for you. That would be a babyhood state, depending on everybody else, right? So God wants us to get us to a place, not to be so independent we don't need anybody, but interdependent, where we realize that we need one another and that we're doing this together. That's a good place to be. So some people stay in that stage. Maybe for all their lives or majority of their lives, they never grow. And it's not their fault, because the people, like myself, should be able to teach those things. And what you're fed here is what is going to be out there. Right? So whatever you're feeding. In other words, even at home, there's some wives that are killing their husbands and killing their kids with the food they're giving them. That's just a joke. Okay, anyway, that's a bad one. These people live in a state of carnality, and they resemble unsaved people or walk as unregenerate men, according to the scripture here. So God wants us to grow up inside the church so that we can reach the world. Unspiritual people do not attain to God's perfect will because they can't seem to walk in it. They cannot reach their lost relatives or the dying world around them who live in darkness. Many are desiring spiritual growth. So what is spiritual growth? We said simply, spiritual growth is the development of the human spirit, or the inner man, or the real you. Through the study of God's word, we understand there is something called spiritual growth. The word of God gives us this revelation so that we can attain to it and grow up in it. The Apostle Paul said this in his letter to the church at Ephesus, as we read earlier. But speaking the truth in love, may it grow up into him in all things, which is Christ, even who is the head of the body. So let's begin to cover some of these things as we talk about in spiritual growth. So again, what is spiritual growth? Our text is referring to growth of the spirit. God wants us to grow into maturity so that we can be helpful in his kingdom, in his church, and in this world. We have developed in many areas as people and done so little with our spiritual growth within ourselves and within the church. So what some have called spiritual growth is not really spiritual growth. It's just kind of like, not what it should be. So soul development is important as well. So soul development is different than spiritual growth. Your spirit and your soul are two different things, the Bible teaches. Your soul is so related to your spirit and your body that, you know, what happens to you spiritually affects your body. That's how close your spiritual and body. There's only three parts of you. If there's any other parts, we don't know, we don't understand it. People are just counting some things. Like your mind is part of your soul. Your emotions is part of your soul. Your imaginations is part of your soul. That's the part we should work on after we come to Jesus. So here, there's two aspects of man. Two aspects of every person in this room right now. We need to understand the two aspects of man. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. Everybody said two aspects.
Two aspects.
Now listen to this. It says 2 Corinthians 4, 16. For which cause we faint not, for though our outward man. Everybody say outward man.
Outward man.
So when he says outward man, he's talking about your physical body. And your physical body has urges, has impulses, or whatever, desires. Right?
Yeah.
Like pretty soon, because it's 11:30, some of you are going to say, oh, man, I got to get to that restaurant. Your body is going to tell you. Some of you are saying, man, I wish this is over. Man, this church is too long. I want to go for a smoke. Your body is telling you what to do. Your body is king. Your body is king. Your body is controlling your whole life. How you feel, I'm comfortable, I'm too hot, like whatever it is. You know, I'm too tired to come to church. Your body is controlling you. You gotta tell your body, no, you say the blade, you're still gonna go. Come on. So take your body and make you do stuff. So when you have urges like I want to smoke, it's your body telling you, I want to smoke. The real you on the inside, your spirit should say, no. You're not having a smoke. And that's what I understood this after when I became a Christian. I understand spiritual things. I understand this. I'm not letting my body control me anymore. Body, no, you're not going to smoke. I know you like to smoke. And yeah, I did fall off a little bit, but I didn't keep on. I said, no, you might have fell once, but you're going to stop right now. And I'm taking you to church tomorrow. Because that's an exercise of restraining myself. That's an exercise of commitment. So I said, I make myself go. I'm going. I went. And so I'm not going to let my body control me. If I let a little cigarette control everything, where I go, how much time I spend there, I can't be here, I can't be go here, I got to go out. I'm letting that control my body, my life. So one day I recognize that I can control this. I can control my appetite. I could be 300 pounds right now if I wanted to be. But I don't. I say, no, you're not going to eat. You ask my wife. I could have a box of chocolates there. I could have it there for months. I'll take one, two. I'm king. I don't have to watch all Netflix all weekend. I don't have to. I can watch one movie. So you have to control yourself right after a certain time. Isn't this great?
Yeah.
This is good news, right? You could actually, you have control. You have more control than you think. So I learned this basically when I was going to AA. I learned to serve when I was in AA. I learned to go to meetings. I went to meetings when I didn't want to go to meetings. I went every day. For 2 years, 3 years, I went every day to a meeting. Sometimes I went 2 meetings a day. Sometimes I went 3 meetings a day for 2.5 years. And then every day, then I went 5 days a week. Why? Because I wanted to stay sober. I didn't want to let myself take advantage, my old self take advantage. And I quit. I started listening to people. And I told people in this church and other church, I said, you know what? Some of y'all need to go to AA for a couple of years. Learn how to serve. And be part of the community. And be part of what, and start giving. I was giving offerings there too. Okay, some of you look mad at me. Please smile at me. Because you don't look very friendly. Anyway, so there's two aspects of man. He says outward man. The outward man is not born again. And will not be born again until, he will not be born again. You will receive a brand new body one day, the Bible says. One day you'll get, if Jesus showed up right now, your body will change in a twinkling of an eye. And your body will have a brand new body. But until then, you're going to have to do something about it. Control it. So here, he says the outward man perishes. Okay, you're getting older. Yet the inward man is being renewed day by day.
Hallelujah.
You know what? It means this, your spirit will never get old. You'll never be older than you are now, spiritually speaking. Like, you know, you'll never grow old, I'm talking about. You're eternal. You'll live forever. So there's two parts of you. One, this is the one we see. And then on the other side, we can't see you on the other side. We don't know what condition that spirit looks like. Because you've been neglecting it. You haven't fed it the word of God, and you haven't done what you're supposed to do with that. But we can see how you're handling yourself right now. We see you wash your face and comb your hair. You look like it. You know? Some of you have been treating yourself too good. You know, so we understand that. You know, I had a friend of mine tells me one time, he said this, you know, if you don't have any kids, you can't tell me what to do with if you didn't have any children. Well, the Bible can, right? Or he said, I could never take any kind of thing from a fat man. If a fat man's teaching, I can't take anything from him. Why should I take advice from somebody? Well, the Word of God is the Word of God. And if a fat man is preaching the Word of God, it can work too. Amen. And if a skinny guy is preaching the Word of God, it works too. Amen. The Word of God is always the same. Amen. But so we have an outward man and an inward man. That's what we need to know, basically speaking, because sometimes we forget. As something as small as that, we forget that there is an inward nature. The real you is on the inside. Your physical body is not the real you. So you have to do something with your body, and you have to do something with your mind. You can't think anywhere you want. You no longer have that, if we want to say this for lack of a term, freedom to think any way you want. You can't just think any way you want and tell people off, cut people off, and just do whatever you want to do. I'm going to tell them what, give them my peace of mind. Well, that's not the way the Bible teaches. You can keep that to yourself. And tell God about it and pray about those people that you don't like. That's a spiritual thing to do. I realize I'm treading on where places angels, you know, fear to tread, because it's dealing with you. It's dealing with you and me. I have to do the same thing with myself. And preachers are not let off as well. We should be even more. So we're both natural and spiritual beings. We both are spirit and physical beings. We have an outward nature and the physical nature, which is temporal, and we have a spiritual nature, which is the nature of God, and we are eternal beings. Notice here, on the same topic, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 3 and 4. So we need to see these things over and over again, because sometimes we forget about these things. We don't just go out and say, you know what, I'll just study on spirituality today. About my flesh and dealing with my mind. Sometimes we do, but sometimes we don't do that. We just do what we need to do quickly. It's lunchtime. I got to figure out how to pray here. So, 1 Peter 3 and 3 and 4 says, whose adorning let it not be the outward adorning? In other words, don't just be concerned only about your hair. There are other things that God's concerned about more than your hair. I know I took very good care of my hair this morning. I sprayed it, combed it, washed it, make sure I combed it, covered my bald spots, whatever. I mean, I had to do taking care of my hair, right? I want to look good. But do I do the same care with my spiritual life? And that's what we're talking about. And so he says over here, adorning of plaiting of the hair and of wearing of gold and putting on apparel. So we're concerned about rings and jewelry and the putting on the very nice clothes that you bought last week and that you kept in your closet since 1979. Now you can fit them. You know. But let it be, he says, but let it be. In other words, rather than that, but let's be concerned more about this, he says in verse 4. Let it be the hidden man of the heart. In other words, ask yourself, is my condition of my heart, is it in the right place? Is it in the right condition? Am I full of hate in there? Am I full of lust? Am I full of jealousy? Am I full of self-pity? I gotta evaluate myself. And so that's what he's talking about. God is concerned about your heart, the condition of your heart. There are so many people that are trying to believe God and they have a wrong heart. You cannot believe God for stuff if your heart is wrong. You can't. He tells 1 Peter tells those people later on, he says, you know what, if you're a husband or husband and a wife, and if you can't get along together and you're fighting God, the Bible says that'll affect your prayer life. And so we see how important heart is. The Bible says in Mark 11, 23, 24, he says, believe from your heart. Now, if your heart is wrong, it's hard to believe. And if you're looking for direction in your life and your heart is wrong and you got all kinds of sorrowful, hurt feelings in there, you're mad at everybody, mad at the world, and it's all in there, and you're trying to find the voice of God, but what you hear mostly is about the pain you're having and all the issues you're having. You can't hear clearly in your heart because it's all in there. The clearer your heart is, the purer your heart is, it's easier to follow God. That's why spirituality is so important. Are you okay here? I mean, am I being still? Are you still with me? Are you guys with me over there? Okay, so I guess maybe somebody went to. Anyway, so we should emphasize somewhat the physical aspects or appearance of our lives. You know. We should see that we can develop and take care of ourselves. How would it be if everybody came up here like your hair is like last year's bird's nest? And you look like you were playing all day at the park. So we have to take care of our bodies. We have to take care of and put on the nice clothes. We want you to put some clothes on. Nice ones, right? You know, we should be able to take care of ourselves. I didn't look like I just come from detox this morning, did I? I didn't come from a jailhouse this morning. I'm dressed like I'm. You guys are important to me, so I would dress up. So I don't just jump out of bed and don't even brush my teeth and I have dragon breath. I care about people, right? I know some of you are smiling, but I don't know if you should brush your teeth. You better take some gum. I should just pass the gum around or something. So. Everybody needs to grow. And we talk about three general areas. Notice this in 1 Thessalonians 5:23. In the very God of peace, sanctify you holy. And I pray your whole spirit. That's number one. First of all, you're a spirit being. Your whole spirit. And number two, your soul. Your soul encompasses the way you think, the way you feel, what you imagine in life. So your soul has to learn how to think proper, now that you're a Christian. You no longer resort to the way you used to think. When you got mad at people, you know what you used to do, right? You get even, or I'll get them next time. But, the Bible says to forgive. You know what the word forgive means? You know what forgive means? It means to let it go and leave it there. That's what it means to forgive. When Jesus said forgive, it means he says to let it go. Let go. Let go of it. Don't hang on to it. Don't take it. Let it go. And leave it there. That's what it means to forgive. But sometimes if you're a carnal, you say, well, listen, I'm going to write this down right now. They hurt me once here. What did he do again? Tell me, what did he do again? And your soul says, oh, yeah, we're really bad. They really hurt you badly. And you write it down, right? And you act friendly at first when you see them. But in your mind, you're thinking, they're going to get it. Right? The devil says to you, if I were you next time, I would just cuss him right out. I would tell him everything you got in your mind. Just blow him out. That's what the devil tell you, right? Go ahead, you get a chance now. Go ahead, tell them. No, your spirit will say, no, you can't do that. You're no longer that. Your spirit's trying to talk to you. It's all... Your spirit is being blocked by all the hate and anger. Your spirit is trying to talk to you, but all that's in there is a bunch of junk. That's exactly what's happening. Your spirit is about this high. Your baby is about this big. Eh? And so if there's a, when they talk about spiritual battles, the spiritual battle is not you fighting the devil. Come on, devil. Come here. Come on, devil. It's not you fighting the devil. Spiritual battle is you fighting with your soul in your mind. Yeah, the devil is part of it, But really, you're fighting with yourself. When you talk about spiritual battles, it's you fighting with your feelings, your thoughts. You got to bring those thoughts down. You got to bring your feelings down. You say, no, I'm not going to act like that anymore. So it takes some energy. It takes spirituality. It takes maturity to be able to control those urges and control those that thinking. And you have to understand that you can do this no matter how you feel. That's when a spiritual man knows that. But a baby or a carnal person, he don't know that. He'll just let it loose. I feel better now. No, and you feel worse. You lose friends. They don't trust you anymore. Once you lose that, oh man, the Bible says once you lose that kind of thing, it's very hard to gain some friendship back with that person on the same level that you had before. They're not going to trust you the same way anymore. So we have to be able to have that within ourselves, that integrity within ourselves, to be honest with ourselves. So he says, the very God of peace, your spirit, soul, and body be preserved. So there's three parts of you. Everybody say, I am a spirit being. Say, I have a soul. And I live in a physical body. That's the way you have to think about life. If you're going to grow spiritually, you're going to understand. Okay, so which part of me is talking right now? Oh, my body is telling me I need to eat. And I'm tired. I want to sleep another 10 hours. What part of you is saying, I hate these people over there? What part is that talking about? Oh, that can be your spirit, because the Spirit of God in you does never hate. Oh, I would hold that resentment back. That's not God's spirit talking. That's not your spirit talking to you. That's your mind talking to you. You guys say, nope, I bring that thought down. I can't do that anymore. That's my old life. I'm taking control of that. And so it takes maturity. It takes a strength on the inside of you. And you can't get that strength unless you put the word in you and unless you change your mind with God's word. It takes some development. And so you need coaching, and you need somebody like myself or sponsor, counselor, somebody continually teaching you, reminding you. And you need to be in a church where people all do this together. And you need to come to church so that you don't fall back and you don't regress. So you need that. I think my teeth is coming out or something. Speaking too much. Is this okay?
Yes.
Okay, so here's another thing. So we're spirit, soul, and body. And if we're going to go spiritually, we have to know we're three parts. And we have to identify which part is talking, which part is more stronger here, which part of our life, so that when we understand and identify that stuff, it's easier on our faith. Let me just say this about faith. Faith will work in your heart with doubt in your head. Just because you're doubting doesn't mean your faith is not working. So a spiritual man would say, you know, I realize those are the doubts coming in my natural mind is working, and the devil also is helping that. So I say, I don't listen to that. My faith is working. Why? Because I'm basing on the scripture. I don't believe it's how I feel. It's working in me right now. So it's easy. So getting spiritual growth, becoming more spiritually minded, helps you in your walk every day. It helps you have peace. Peace with your people around you. Stop fighting. Are you guys still fighting as husband and wife? You're good, eh? Yeah. I just thought I'd ask. I know you're not going to answer me, but I thought I'd ask anyway. So I see Jean smiling away. So you're doing really good. Sometimes, you know, we fight as husband and wife. Pastor Ken, you guys still fight a little bit once in a while? Never? No? You're never home. My wife and I, we just, she stays on the other side of her house, and I stay on one side of the house. Go home and say, oh, you're home, okay. Praise God. Can you go to Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2? We're going to see again spirit, soul, and body again here. Okay? So he says, I beseech you, therefore. Do you tell your friends that? Hey, I beseech you. Do you phone them and say, hey, John, I beseech you. By the mercies of God that you present your body. Notice he says, you present your body. In other words, your spirit. When he says you, he's talking about the inner man, the person on the inside, the inner you. That you take your body and you present it to God. In other words, you take your body and you make it serve God. You tell your body, no, I'm bringing you to church. I know you stayed up late last night playing games. I'm taking you to church. Next time you'll learn to go to bed. You do that enough times, you're either going to quit coming to church or you're going to actually start coming. But hopefully, if you've got any kind of spiritual anything in you, you'll come to church. Because you can't do this alone. You can't live a Christian life alone. There's no way you can do it. No way. You say, well, I'm a good Christian. I can stay at home. No, you're not. You can't be a good Christian living at home by yourself. There's no hermit Christians. There's none. You can't be a member of a group somewhere and just stay at home. You can't. You got to do it with other people. You need people. And the way you can tell you're spiritual is by when you're around people. That's the only way you can tell. You say, oh, I'm a good Christian. Yeah, when you get into people, you start fighting with people, you cause division, strife. That tells me, hey, you're not growing up. You're afraid of people. What are you afraid of people for? So there are some things we have to work on, right? So here, I beseech you, therefore, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. You know, your body doesn't want to do a lot of things. This is a living sacrifice. It doesn't want to do things. My wife went to the gym. She didn't want to. She cried all day. She didn't want to take her to go to the gym. Finally, she went to the gym after cleaning the house, and she says, I can't move. I said, why are you getting old? Is that because you exercise? I said, I don't know. Well, I know what happened. So, wholly acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. You know, one way to serve God is take your body and you do what God wants you to do. Ask yourself, what does God want me to do? And stop living selfish. That's the way we live, right? Before we just do whatever. Verse 2 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Your mind is your soul. The way you think. The way you think affects how you feel. How you feel will eventually decide on what you will do, how you'll act. So this is all there, right? So it's important to do that. So you is your spirit. Bodies is where your spirit lives inside your body, and your soul is your mind. There's a three-partite aspect there. Again, we need to understand. We have an inside, an outside. So after salvation, as we come to Jesus, we do something with our minds and our bodies. When we are born again, when we come to Jesus, our bodies are not born again. Our minds are not born again. We have to do something with it. God gives us the capacity to do something with our mind and helps us to control our bodies. Some people don't know that. They don't realize that. They say, oh, I can't help it. Every time I go buy a chocolate bar, every time I go buy a chocolate factory, I go in there and I eat about a dozen. I can't drive by, Mr. Submarine without eating one or two. No, you can. I feel like smoking. I pick on smokers because I was a very big-time smoker. I can't wait for church. You know, I remember I used to tell you, I might be worshiping God like this. Oh, Lord Jesus. And I would just sense the presence of God, and He'd bless me. Oh, man, He'd bless me. I had tears coming down my eyes. I'm just worshiping God. And I got those cigarettes there. I could feel them. Oh, they're there. The Moria is still there. Okay, praise God. And get out of the car and go and jump in my car and just put in the lighter and just light up right away. Oh, this is wonderful. Life is wonderful. The Moria and cigarettes at my favorite restaurant. Get out of the way. My turn. Okay, I know that's silly, but some of you don't like to be honest. Right? So, number one, the spirit is the center of who you are. The core is the spiritual nature on the inside of you. The spirit is the core or the eternal part of you. We all are spiritual beings. Everybody, whether you're Christian, born again or not, everybody is a spiritual being. In every religion, they are spiritual beings, no matter who we are. But the thing about it is that God gives us a brand new spirit when he comes into you. It changes your spirit. And when I was in AA for a number of years, I went to meeting a lot of meetings, man. Went to talk to a lot of sponsors, sponsored people. And I always thought about, wondered about that spiritual thing. I never, you know, I heard people talk about spiritual, encounter or the spiritual experience. And I read from the books. I studied the books. I became a student of the program. I started reading. I read Bill Wilson's. What happened to him? I want to find out what happened to him. I want what he had. So I read through all his stuff and realized that Bill Wilson went to a church service, a tent meeting of some sort they were having, and he heard the message, and he went up, and he received Jesus Christ, got on his knees, and got born again. He felt so good, so free, that he went out and got drunk again. And he ends up in a hospital. And he's laying in a hospital bed. And he says, I realized for the first time in my life I wanted God, I needed God. And he had an experience with God. After 4 years in AA, I figured it out. I said, if it's good for Bill Wilson, it's good for me. My higher power, step 1, 2, and 3, Jesus became my higher power. Jesus come in my life. I heard Billy Graham say, if you need peace in your life, if you want peace in your life, Jesus will come in and give you peace. I wanted peace. I was sober 4.5 years. I was going to meetings every day. I was going to church even. Every Sunday I'd go to church. I still didn't have the peace until that day I made a commitment to Christ. And bang, something happened to me. Oh. You know when it says in Matthew 4:14, he says, a light came in. The prisoner saw the light, and the light came in. And I was born again. And I felt so wonderful. Walking down the street, clicking my heels together. And I saw dogs, and I wanted to kiss every dog. Street lights looked wonderful. Buildings were smiling at me. All the birds were singing. I felt heaven open. Oh, I felt wonderful. Literally, this is how I felt. I didn't realize I was so depressed and oppressed for all my childhood, all my life. When someone has been that way all their life, and fear is gone, and oppression is gone, depression is gone, you realize you have something you never had before. I felt good. I felt so wonderful that I had found something after 4 years in the program. I was looking for this. And my life changed. And everybody loved me. Money poured in. No, I still had a hard time. I still had to grow. I still had to go to my meetings and still did that and that. So, you know, it takes a while. Spiritual growth takes work. It takes work to become, to grow. It takes some fighting with yourself. It takes some learning. It takes the readings, and it takes those things. It takes yourself, get off your bed and go somewhere, help somebody. It does take some work. If you want to grow, you can't just stay at home. I'll just lay here. We got internet. Honey, pass me that juice. You get off the table, get off the couch, go and help somebody. When I first got, when I first came to the program, and I would go down, no one would tell me, no church would tell me, no person would say, I'd just go walk down the street and start telling people about, you can get off the street, you can get off. I'd go to the, before they used to let us in the detox, before you guys, we just walk in detox, talk to people, shaking away. They don't want to really hear you, but you talk to them, give away. I'm telling you my story, and they're sleeping. But you go out and help, and go to the hospital. We used to go to LPH over here. And there was a program there. You can go anytime you want. Just go visit people sometime. We go to a Smith Clinic and walk right in there and talk to people, have coffee with them. That's way before. But now they got you can't go in there now. You need a machine gun. You got to figure out. They won't let you in anymore. What is your name? Where are you from? What's your serial number? You got an idea? Yeah. Here's my Indian card. No one was born in that. Early. Coupons. So spirit, soul, and body, that's who you are. If you can grow spiritually, you got to understand these things and grow in them. So we've neglected our spirituality for so long, and we have to figure out how to do this. Don't neglect your spiritual growth. You know, in the church world, people have neglected what we call the teaching ministry, the Word of God. This, what you're seeing right now, that this is a teaching ministry in order. This is the pastoral office that I'm in, and there's a teaching ministry. It's a supernatural anointing. More, just like you would have an evangelist. It's supernatural. When I'm teaching here, there's something more than me here. God is working. God is work here. There's a teaching ministry at work, and it's ministering to your heart and giving you something. It's a little bit more. Everybody can teach, but there is another level of teaching that only God can give through a gift of the Spirit. I knew that one day. I knew I was a pastor. No one told me. I'm in Kenora, Ontario, and I knew I'm going to be pastor. Did anybody want me? No. No, nobody wanted me. I wouldn't want me either because, and God gave me some experiences, spiritual experiences, only because I knew what happened, the opposition that I faced when I came into the ministry. And we see this in Scripture that God gives you encounters so that that's going to help you when you go through these things. And being a First Nations pastor was not an easy thing for me. And being from the same town, relatively all my family here, all the people knew me from my history here, it's harder to be a pastor in the place where people know you. Yeah. Try it. And some of the stuff that people tell you, oh, you're the guy that did all this on my reserve, you did this. Nobody trusts you. We know who you are. And so it takes maturity, it takes some strength to be able to do that, to stay when there's no money. It wasn't about money, it was about what God called me to do. He said, this is what I want you to do. Now, I could have been anything else if I want. I know I could have been gone to another profession. I could have done that if I wanted to. But I knew, on the inside of me, I knew God called me. He said, Roma, you're a pastor. My wife, the Lord spoke to my wife before he even met me. She said, you're going to be a pastor's wife. And she talked to me. The moment we sat down together and talked, we knew that we're going to spend the rest of our lives and we're going to be in ministry. It was divine, a divine connection. It's supernatural. And it's supernaturally we have to stop. It's 12:01. You're not paying me enough money to go overtime. It's all stand up, guys.